Today, the UN Security Council is considering the possibility of a French-led peacekeeping force in the Central African Republic. But New Yorker staff writer Philip Gurevich isn't optimistic that the French can bring stability to their troubled former colony.
The fact is that probably nobody else is interested, and France has been very gung-ho to reestablish itself as the sphere of influence leader in French-speaking Africa since it was really pushed to the margins after the Rwandan genocide and the fall of Mobutu in the 1990s. They've reinserted themselves very strongly, taking a role in the Ivory Coast first militarily, the action in Mali. They were driving force, obviously, in the Libya campaign, and now going into the Central African Republic, where they have a very ugly history. Giscard d'Estaing, when he was president in the 60s and 70s, his first state trip was to go visit President Bokassa, this self-styled emperor who thought of himself as the Napoleon of Africa and sort of dressed like an extra from Sergeant Pepper, and spent zillions of dollars, the entire country's wealth, on his own coronation, which he got the French marching band to, march down the streets of the capital while his people suffered endlessly. Giscard, the president of France, was given his own private hunting areas. He hung out with this emperor all the time. He really fetishized him. And by the time that Bokassa was then overthrown, in turn, by the French-backed military operation, he started complaining that, well, Giscard d'Estaing was sleeping with my wife, the empress. It's that kind of messy. It's hard to know how any long-term good can come from it. But if the situation's as grim as it is, it's also hard to not hope that somebody can find a way to alleviate the most extreme suffering.
When you were covering Rwanda's genocide in 1994, it turns out one of the first people you met in Rwanda was a UN employee from the CAR who'd been in Rwanda through the genocide. What do you remember about your conversations with him and about Central African Republic?
It was literally the first guy I met in Rwanda in a year after the genocide. I flew in, and there were no taxis at the airport, and I got a lift from this guy in a UN car, and he turned out to come from the Central African Republic. He had been with the UN mission in Rwanda, and he said, you know, I was here through the whole thing. I am disgusted with this country. It struck me very strongly because I said, with the whole country? And he said, yeah, I'm just disgusted with it. And I thought, you know, here he comes from the Central African Republic, a pretty dysfunctional state with some very horrible history. What does it mean to say a whole country's hopeless? And I thought, you go to Rwanda now, and Rwanda's a relatively model country for safety. And so many people at that time would have said it's impossible. So that when, you know, people say to me, well, is it just hopeless in the Central African Republic? It's missing a lot of the ingredients one would like to see for hope. There aren't forces within the country that you can identify at this point, whom you can look to and say, you know, if they could establish order, you could start to have governance and you could have this country running itself. It's more like Darfur, I would say.
In what way? I mean, explain that parallel.
Well, in Darfur, you had this escalation over several years, and then you had an intervention force that was able to staunch that, but not really to establish anything like a viable system. Part of the problem was the Sudanese government and its allied militias, the largest part of the problem. So you don't look to establish state control when the state's the problem. People live in Darfur. There are huge numbers of people still living in camps. There's meddling from neighboring countries. And so what you have is a kind of stalemate. And compared to the most violent mayhem that one saw in Darfur, this is preferable. But as anything like a longer-term solution, it's really not very promising at this stage.
Do you think there is a connection to kind of post-independence dysfunction in a country like CAR and its colonial, former colonial overseers?
Oh, sure. The French enabled the worst behavior and, as I say, glorified people who were appallingly abusive leaders and who were doing this on the French dime and with the French support. This is obviously different. They're going in now under UN auspices. They say they're going short term. They're doing it, I would say, as much to launder their image in Africa in terms of their own political interests as it is to also establish or reclaim a certain kind of influence. One has to keep in mind that there are two issues. There's the immediate desire to contain extreme violence and to prevent an escalation to something very much worse. And then there's the question of how does this place sort itself out? And I think it's important to be very clear that a deployment of 1,000 French troops under a UN banner with some neighboring African Union troops is not that. It's a very temporary response. It's fireman work.
Philip Gurevich, staff writer for The New Yorker. He's also the author of We Wish to Inform You That Tomorrow We Will Be Killed With Our Families, a book describing his travels in Rwanda after the genocide there in 1994. Philip, thank you very much, as always.
Good talking to you, Marco.